Now I'd like to turn to the Gospel of John, please, and chapter 11. I do want to say appreciate the hearty, warm welcome here, and all the believers back over home send their greetings to one and all. The Gospel of John, please, and chapter 11. And I'd just like to read one verse together. And it's verse number 35. It just simply says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I'd like to, with the help of God, just for a few minutes, just to take up the subject of tears. It's something that's been on my heart just since last evening, actually. The Lord just pressed this deeply on my heart, and we trust that the Lord will help us to understand what He has in the Word of God for us. And I'd just like to take to our attention the very example of the Lord Jesus Himself when it just simply says, Jesus wept. And throughout the Word of God, there are many mentions of it, and I just will refer to those passages of the Scripture, and I won't have time to read them all, but I'd like you to go home and read them all yourself, because there God has a beautiful lesson in every one of them for us. You know, the meaning of the word tear is, or weeping is quite interesting, because there's three main meanings. The first one is simply to shed the tear. And the second meaning is simply to, within the heart, to cry, but in a silent manner. And it's just applied in every situation in the Scriptures just so beautifully. But the last meaning is really to sob and to wail aloud. And we'd like to see the differences in these as we look through the Word of God. You know, it's a very interesting thing when you look at the subject of tears, because there's no language barrier when it comes to tears. It's something that is understood throughout all the nations of the world. When the eye begins to well and the tears begin to flow, we all understand, don't we, just what that really means. There's no language barrier, no matter what country you come from. When I was in the Philippines, or when I was over in Venezuela, you know, when you meet people and the tears are shed, you know exactly what they mean. You know, people often think that it's a weak thing. People sometimes think, is it normal for me to shed a tear? Is it something that I'm showing a weak side of me, that I'm a softy maybe, or am I just not showing us men a manly character? Is that really what it means? Is there something wrong with me? And maybe there's some younger Christians and younger men maybe, and you think, I don't want to show that side of me. And we try to hide them, don't we? We try to wipe them away before people know that we've shed them. You know, we're going to learn something very shortly, that God has given them to us for a reason. And He likes us to use them. Younger man, it's not a weak thing to shed a tear. Younger sister, older sister, God has given us those tear ducts for a reason. And we want to learn, don't we? You know, often the Scripture tells us, when the heart is sorrowing, that really we put on the brave face, don't we? And we like to just show that side of us. But the Scripture says, even when we put on a brave face, when even the heart is sorrowing. And we want to just learn those simple things from the Word of God. I'd like to break my simple thoughts up into some different areas. I want to speak about the chemistry of the tear. Then after we look at the chemistry of the tear, let's just enjoy something of the creator of the tear. Then when we understand something what God has for us there, let's try and look at the comforter's tears, the Savior Himself. And then we'll look at the cause of tears as we look through at the Word of God and see examples where men and women, when they wept and they cried and the tears flowed. And then we want to know, we want to finish with the conclusion of the tears. We go into the book of the Revelation. First of all, let's just look at the chemistry of the tear. I really enjoyed this as I looked into the and just tried to research something, and the body's an amazing, amazing, isn't it, the way God has designed it. You know, the tear is something that comes out of the window of the eye, the window of the body, which is the eye. And I want to just break up the chemistry of the tear into three different areas. First of all, tears, there's three main tears. And firstly, there's the basal tear. And then there is the reflex tear. And then there is the crying, it's called, or the weeping tear. You know, the body is an amazing thing because God's designed it that there's actually three layers of tear over the eye. And that tear which continually comes over the eye, it is produced by the body. It's like a saline type of a solution which comes out from the body, which comes out of the tear duct. And why is it there? It's there that it might lubricate the eye. It's amazing because it actually is there to nourish the eye as well. And not only that, it's got a bacteria in it that actually helps to protect the eye of any dust or any impurity. And we might not think of it every time we blink the eye or the eyelid or just when we sit there naturally. God is making this body of ours to produce a tear film to come over the eye to protect it and to preserve it. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And God calls it the basal tear. You know, it's amazing because there's up to nearly 1 gram of fluid produced a day. Just continue. Wonder, where does that go? That continual production of that fluid that God gives us to protect the eye. You know, the next tier is the reflex tier. You know, it's interesting because you know when it's like when you get that little bit of something in your eye, and all of a sudden the eye starts to water and it starts to flow and you wipe it away. We've all been there, don't we? We know what that's like. You know, that's the reflex tear. That's an immediate response of the body, just that it might be able to flush out of it those things that have got in there, just another protection from God. And God calls that the reflex tear. But then there's the other tear which I want to concentrate mainly on, and it's called the crying tear or the weeping tear. This is a totally different solution altogether. As it comes out of the eye, it's something that has got a protein-based fluid which is actually a natural painkiller. Amazing, isn't it? And there is the heart maybe is overwhelmed with sadness or with sorrow, and the tears begin to flow. And there's that natural painkiller that is produced by the body that comes in to help fight the solution that's in the eye just at that moment. And it's a fluid which is actually a hormonal fluid. I just wondered at the amazing design of God. You know, can I tell you something that this, I learned a lot about this, you know, as I looked at it. It comes out of the limbic system of the brain, which starts at the heart, and there from the activities and the emotions of the heart, the limbic system in the brain makes the ears and the tear ducts to flow. When the heart begins to throb with sorrow and pain, yes, God designs the body to bring forth a tear, that it might help ease the pain. Why isn't the chemistry of the tear an amazing thing? As you and I, we sit there and we just wonder why these things happen. Behind it, there's a great design of the mighty heart of God that we might be helped in our every day of our life. My, the chemistry of the tear. I'd like to just think for a moment of just watching that clock. I just want to be very orderly. When we come now not just to the chemistry of the tear, we want to think something of the creator of the tear. We want to learn exactly who is this creator. How we've mentioned, haven't we, that God designed it. Yes, he did. And there's the amazing wonder and the handiwork of God. And I just often can't stop thinking when I think about this body of an Adam that was formed of the dust of the ground. And then we see that the very handiwork of God, you know, as he formed man, and I can just see the intricacy of the fingers of God, and he created the eye, and he created the tear duct, and amazing, isn't that? So we want to ask the question, does God take notice of the tears? Does God take notice? When the heart pains and the tears flow, and never what situation is, whether it's the, we're going to learn the cause of tears in a moment, we won't go double up in our message, but just to, does God take notice? Is God so high above me that He's not interested in me? Maybe just so insignificant, maybe the struggles of your life. Does God know, my dear fellow believer? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. My dear fellow believer, it just says this. When the Psalm in 56, you can write it down if you've got a pen there. And I just think of the psalmist, he puts all my tears into a bottle. Yes, they're all written in his book. And maybe you've taken and you've tried to wipe them away, but can I tell you, God knows about them. And there's not one tear that's fallen loosely from your eye that the hand of God has not written in his book and the eye of God has not noticed. You know, I just think of the reason why God gave them. You know, so often we, as I said at the commencement of my remarks, we often try to hide them. I want to say this, that God's given us tear ducts. Let's use them. Let's use them. Sometimes we might feel in my own heart that we try to hide what we really think, and hence the people of God aren't helped, and yet we just aren't open with ourselves in a sense. And if only we were just real, then we'd know maybe we'd understand each other just a little better. But yes, the great designer of the body, he gave us those. And God wants us just to understand. I love the thought of God just not taking notice of them, but I love to think of God, he knows the cause of them. God just doesn't look at them and he says, oh yes, each one of us have. No, God knows the reason for the tears. And that just adds that little special touch to the designer and the creator of the tear. Let's take our minds for a moment to the comforter's tears. My, we can't think about this subject, can we, unless we just think of our Savior. And I often think, you know, as I consider the body of Adam as he was made, and I can just know that when God designed that in his amazing handiwork, that the very Savior himself knew that there would be a day when he would take on a body made in the likeness of man. Do you think the Savior had a body that didn't have tear ducts? Do you think the Savior had a body that didn't know what it was to shed a tear? I can't just help but think of those three main references of that blessed man. And we understand that in every subject of the Word of God, that there's the Lord Jesus standing up as the great example, that great wonder of his humanity, displaying to us all the character of his person. And I want to just draw your attention to three references. And we've read one here, haven't we? And it's John chapter 11 and verse 35. And it just simply says, Jesus wept. You know, I just think of that term he's called here, Jesus. That's his humanity. That's bringing him right down to you and I. I just love to think of him there in his humanity. And we were considering in the book of Hebrews and in chapter 2 up north there. And just the amazing wonder of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. And in all the characteristic of his person. Yes, he cannot but be touched. The emphasis is of those words. And then with the feelings of our infirmities. My dear brother, my dear sister in the meeting. God understands every situation you're in, and he knows the every detail of your life, and he knows that you maybe have the very situation in your circumstance now, and there's a man that walked the pathway before, and he knows exactly how you feel. You know, the Savior, he shed tears. I can just look as I meditated on this morning, and as I thought of the Savior, and those words come out when he says, Jesus heard that he said that his sickness, nowhere. I want to come down a little lower. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. My dear fellow believers, you're the affection of God's heart. And I want to say sincerely from my heart that from the Word of God, that God, the Lord Jesus, loves you. And he knows your circumstance and your situation. And just like he loved a Mary, and just like he loved a Martha and a Lazarus, and what's happened now, he whom thou lovest is sick. And my dear fellow brother, my dear fellow sister, young or old, it doesn't really matter. Please don't think you go unnoticed before God.
He loves you. You're very tender to him. And this is just what we have here, that Jesus wept. You know, we've got the other reference, don't we, when he beholds a city. Just the difference. You know that thought there when Jesus wept? That's the meaning of inside. He just cried. Just the emotions just were, he cried silently. You know, when we come different, when he looks over the city, it's a different meaning there. He began to weep and wail aloud and sob as he looked at a city that rejected him. And we hear those cries as he looked over Jerusalem, and he began to weep as he looked at it. And he cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem." Oh, the affection of him comes out. "How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not." Oh, we see the affection to his own people of a man that just longed and wept for that city. No wonder his crucifixion, as they heard him cry away with him, it must have broken his heart. Must have broken that blessed man's heart. And oh, we've got that other reference, don't we, when he's in the garden. You know, we're thinking of it there with Mr. Mellish up there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5. And it just says with strong crying and tears in the garden as Calvary was before him, and all the tears flowed as he thought of the great suffering that would be his portion as he considered the awful question of our sin. My dear fellow believers, our sin caused him to weep. Our sin caused him to bow down to the ground as the great enormity of our sin laid before him, and the reality of it filled his soul. And I can see that humble man just raining tears down in a garden, and it says strong crying and tears. It humbles the heart, doesn't it, that my sin caused my Savior. The tear ducts flowed out of the every eyes of that blessed man. No wonder we can say the Comforter had tears. I want to just think very tenderly about the cause of tears. And as I just wondered about this, and as I meditated on my thoughts about it again, my mind went throughout the scriptures of men and women. Young men wept. Oh, can you remember Timothy? Oh, Paul says, "I'm mindful of your tears, Timothy." Why did Timothy weep? Have you ever wondered? I want to just bring your attention to a few references of men that wept. My mind went to Nehemiah, first of all, when I thought of this subject just some time ago. And as I thought of Nehemiah, if you've not read that, you go to Nehemiah, and the book opens it in chapter 1. And there's Nehemiah, and he's up there, and he's in captivity, and there's the people come in. He inquired of how those that were down in Jerusalem, and how was Jerusalem? And this is what he said, and this is what he heard. The people of God, they're in great affliction. He says the walls are broken down, and he says the gates are burned with fire. Now you might ask the question, what does that really mean? What do walls mean, and what do the gates mean? Well, let me just give you a little bit of help. The walls were those things that Mr. Hills was just telling us about. That was the protection of the city. And that kept not just things out, but it kept things in. And that was the way which speaks to us of separation. And then we've got the gates. What was the gate? Well, that was the way you got into the city. And above the gate was the erection of the building. And up there all the governors of the city would sit. And that's where they would meet. And there the affairs of the city would be dealt with. And we would call that the administration of the city. No wonder Nehemiah wept. He thought of that blessed city, Jerusalem. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. And the people are in great affliction. And what was Nehemiah's response? He fell down and he wept. And he wept. How can I apply that today? How can I bring that to my heart? Have I shed a tear of the assembly? Maybe things are maybe falling down. Maybe the walls and the gates of administration. Does it just create a, earnestness in the heart doesn't mean that, yes, thou gets me to bow before the God of heaven and just to weep and just to weep. Nehemiah did. You know, when I thought of this also, I thought of thee in relation to that of the people in captivity. And you've got to go to the book of Psalms now. And this scripture come to my heart in Psalm 137. You know it, don't you? Down by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. And when we wept, when we remembered Zion. The question was asked them, sing us one of the Lord's songs. And the cry come back, how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And oh, isn't that quite a, and I've just linked with that thing, in with Nehemiah, the assembly. Then I went with that with Psalm 137. That's with disobedience. The people of God were taken into captivity. And you know, in our own heart, whenever there's disobedience, well, it breaks the heart, doesn't it? When you exercise, I think of a Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. And that always does. And I just think of the reality of that and how that breaks the heart. But my dear fellow believers, I want to say something else in connection with this. Because when away in their captivity, they'll try to, the people that they brought them into captivity, what actually happened? Oh, they wanted us to bring those things of God. And we've already heard that we can't worship God in the world. My dear fellow believers, what did we say before? Can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Can I just say very simply, just relation to the music of today? The music of today, it's not, can I say this very just simply? Music is not a neutral thing. Music is not something that just passes in the ear and out the other side and it doesn't affect us. No, there's a language to music. There's an emotional side of music that goes into the brain and goes into the recesses of the heart. And God just simply says, you be careful that you don't take the world's music. Can I just encourage younger believers? Be careful what music you listen to. Be careful that the beat of the world doesn't just get into your heart. Can I say that there is a thing called today called Christian rock? Can I say there's no such thing as Christian rock? I want to just encourage your heart. Don't be accustomed to turn on the music. Don't go to the music store and buy those CDs or those DVDs that just entertain and are designed to tinge and entertain the flesh. My dear younger Christian, be ever careful what you let get into the subconsciousness of the mind, because it's just not easily got out. That's a subject on its own, but I just wanted to say that you be very, very careful. Don't get used to turning on the radio. I mean that from my heart. God just says there is a Lord's song, a Lord's song. I just think of the imploring of the gospel. And if you look on Clive's bus, you'll see this. They that sow in tears shall weep in joy. And I just think of the Psalm in 126 of the how do I in relation to the gospel. Now not the assembly, now not in disobedience, but in relation to the gospel. And I just had to strike my heart. And I just thought, Andrew, how serious do I take the gospel? They that sow in tears. You know, I just thought of this in relation to this. It struck me, I'll be honest. Can I tell you something? There's going to be tears in hell. Weeping and wailing. And I can just think of those dear souls in it. And I've said it over home many times and I'll say it again. It does the heart good as you sit in a busy thoroughfare and just look at the goings on as people walk by. And you can get busy with that, can't you? And just get somehow, you just get taken. But it just does the heart good, doesn't it? Just to stop and realize that every one of those are a precious soul to eternity. I want to ask a question. I must ask myself, Andrew, how serious do you take the gospel? Has it affected the emotions of the heart that really are not just emotionally affected, but have you let it hit the feet that you might be able to go out with that ambition and that desire with the affections of God that He has towards the people in relation to their soul's eternal welfare? And oh, the psalmist says, they that weep in joy, those that sow in tears, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. You can't help when you think of this subject, not just in the assembly, not just tears of disobedience, not just tears in relation to the gospel, but what about tears in worship? Oh, you can't help but think of Mary, can you? You can't think of the affections of a Mary as she bows down at the very feet of that blessed Saviour. And all the tears began to flow and they fall down onto Him and she begins to wash His feet. You know, I just listened to some meetings on Mr. AMS Gooding and as if I heard them yesterday, you know. And I really appreciated you speaking about the remembrance of the Lord and he spoke of a little assembly where he was and the floor was no carpet, it was just timber floors, you know. And he said when they shifted the seats around after the meeting, he says there was a little wet patch there and a little wet patch there. There's a time when a brother actually hopped up to give thanks for the ambulance and he couldn't. I'm not saying you can't. You know what I mean, but don't you, my dear fellow believers? Sometimes we just get maybe accustomed. I hate to say that word, but it's true. And we get familiar sometimes. There's three things about Mary I want to just bring to your attention. And there are the three things that the Saviour said to Simon. Simon, thou gavest me no water. Thou gavest me no ointment. And there's a third one that's just slipped my mind, but he says, Mary gave them all to me. Gave them all. Let's not be afraid to be real before God in our worship. Let's not be afraid to be genuine and real. There's no shame in tears. There's nothing to think that you're a weakie or a humble thing, because you know why? The conclusion of tears. Isn't it beautiful in the book of Revelation and chapter 21, the scripture says is they shall wipe away every tear. One day he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And soon this scene which is marked by so much sorrow and there is joy in every area of it, soon they'll be taken all away. Our face will behold that blessed man in the glory and every tear will be wiped away and the joy will fill our souls for eternity. My dear fellow believers, tears are a real thing. Our Saviour wept. May the Lord bless His word to every one of us.